Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. With me, as always, JB and Rabbit. How you going, guys?
So good. Couldn't be happier right now.
The playoffs have just been incredible.
It is peak time for NBA fans. I don't know about you, but my wife hates me.
Girlfriend doesn't like me. I had to watch the Lego movie in between games yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Out of 10?
Yeah. Yeah. 5.5.
Better than Spider-Man.
Yeah. Those good in and out jokes, you know, like adult humor with kids sort of messages and, you know.
Yeah. Speaking
principles.
Of epic blocks, what about DeAndre? No.
Outside of the playoffs, I heard a weird, crazy rumor, guys.
Yeah.
You want to hear this?
Yeah. Go.
Everyone in the NBA is racist, and all the players have been wearing their uniforms inside out because their parents were massive Crisscross fans. How hectic is that? It's true, right?
That's all it is, I think, yeah.
David Stern.
The Mac Dad will make you jump.
Yeah. Did anyone hear anything else different?
Yeah, you're talking about the owner who got suspended or banned or something for like saying fuck Brooklyn or something like that, the Toronto guy?
Yeah, that's got to be it. That's the juiciest controversy floating at the moment.
I think there was an actress and Leonardo DiCaprio's involved somehow.
Ah,
must be it.
It's edgy.
Is that what's going on, Bag? Can you tell us what the hell's going on that's interrupting my playoff experience?
Yeah, well, it's been talked about no end, so I don't think we really need to go into the nuts and bolts of it. But there's a rich 80-year-old Jewish man who doesn't like minorities enough to really want to hang out with them at Center Court.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'd assume everyone over 80 isn't racist, but maybe that's just me.
I'd like to think if you're listening to our podcast, then you follow basketball and you know what the hell is going on. You know, it's a shame, obviously, that it happened during one of the greatest first rounds of all time. On a serious note, we can't have that in basketball.
Yeah, hopefully when it's all said and done, he just becomes like a distant memory and there's no more of this. But, you know, he's been a bit of a cancer on the league for years. He's been doing random stuff, yelling at Baron Davis from the sideline when Baron was at the Clippers and telling him he's fat and useless and God knows what else. So
he might have a point there.
Also, if you're looking to stand up against racism, what a wonderful opportunity to stand up and state your opinion safely without any backlash.
Yeah. Too much rhetoric, too much stuff everywhere about it, and everyone's sort of bleeding heart shit. It's a bit hard. What did
Poor
you think
Clippers.
About? Yeah, what did you think about the Clippers? I was going to say the actual team.
Well,
trying to take on a
I think
Golden
we saw
State
it all
playoff team,
in the last 30 seconds of the game when Doc Rivers literally just started screaming at the crowd, "Hell yeah, we did this."
What, in game 7?
Yeah. Did you see him on the sideline there going, "Yeah!"
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, to random guys that were just like, "Whoa, like, what's this guy doing?
Yeah,
yelling at me.
Fives.
Oh, he's happy. Okay, great. Yeah,
I couldn't
awesome.
See through my tears, though, I mean, at the time. I was pretty upset.
But, like, I mean, that shows everything. That says it all. I mean, the amount of pressure he must have been under. And you were saying that he didn't express that sort of emotion when they won the championship in 2008. So.
Yeah, I didn't think so. It was more relief.
I mean, we're, you know, three white dudes, I guess. We can't really relate. We're in Australia. We can't relate to the racism thing. So before I go further, I'd like to say that. But
I'm sorry to interrupt. There's another factor in this is who's been in charge of the NBA for the last 88 days or 92 days now is
Silva.
Yeah. And what a perfect opportunity for him to stand up and unite the entire league, get all the owners on his side, and use him as an example to show everyone he's the boss.
Gift wrapped.
Yeah.
He basically had everyone else in the league saying, throw the book at the guy, or it's going to be trouble. So it was the easiest decision.
He
I
maxed
think.
It out.
Yeah.
$2.5 million
and
fine.
You look great doing it.
Mm. Yeah. So $2.5 million and a life ban.
Yep. Sorry.
That's the punishment.
Yeah.
Do you have any alternative suggestions as to
alternative
how you would have
punishments.
That's
punished? That's interesting.
Yeah. How would you have done it if you could? Like,
I would have had him frozen in carbonite like Han Solo and put him at every Clipper home game and made him watch how many black people come to the games and how many black dudes start tapping his ex-girlfriend.
Or just how about they have to come up and rub his face?
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Or Mexicans drinking. or smoking somewhere, you know, right near him, and he's got to deal with it for
make
eternity.
An ashtray out of him. Yeah. It'd be glorious.
Yeah.
I thought long and hard about this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, in America, the rich get richer while the poor get poorer, right?
Mm.
So there can be no real punishment for the ultimate rich. So what's the worst thing you could do? You already banished him from his home game. It's true, like multi-millionaire people, they never really, you know, Wall Street, they never really get in trouble for anything. So I figured the best outcome would be is put him in the next Captain America movie as the head of Hydro next to Red Skull. He gets paid about $8 million for the gig and gets features in Avengers 6, 7, and 8 for an additional $23 million, but he'll be a hologram because he'll be dead by then. But children will grow up knowing he's the symbol of evil. And in the next installment, Sterling kills Captain America, essentially crushing all children's dreams until the Winter Soldier realizes he's 1/16th Apache Indian and wants to become Captain America to get revenge.
Go after his legacy.
So 23 plus 7...
Yeah, that's
a $30 million paycheck. Mm. But that's about as bad as it can get. Nothing really bad will happen.
It's really long and drawn out as well. You're really stretching it till after death. I love it.
Yeah, hologram.
Yeah, he's legacy.
It's funny, it's funny you say that. Mine's movie-based as well, but it's a lot more shorter and direct.
We've got Star Wars and Captain America.
Have you ever seen the movie The Purge?
I have seen
where
the
they
purge.
Make all crime legal for a 12-hour period. Though I was thinking like a personal purge for Donald Sterling, right? You just put him in the middle of Staples Center.
Oh.
But like you announce the purge maybe 6 months before it actually happens, so he freaks out about it and saying it's going to be an open purge. But then you just have Zach Randolph in there with a pillowcase full of soap bars and just have at it. Or like, I think... To be honest, though, I think he's owned and had to watch the Clippers for 30 years. That's punishment enough. It's only really been... Just fucking kick him out right now.
Ultimate insult, while they're starting to rock, you've dealt with 30 years of just debauchery, and now they're killing it. You kick him out. I see your point there.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Or take Chris Paul back from him. Give him back.
Do we know his exact age?
80. 81.
He's 81. Yeah, yeah. He's diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, yeah?
He's...
I didn't know that.
Probably, you know, got... 5-6 years. How long do you think his lawyers could just extend that out?
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be able to afford like proper iron lungs and shit.
Totally.
He'll probably be around for ages.
I just don't think it's as clean cut as he's gone. See you later.
In terms of getting into buildings, it depends the ethnicity of the person who's on the door of the building. That's going to be the determining factor of whether he gets in anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
He bought it for like $12 million in the '70s, and it's worth about $500 million
the
now.
More whole Clippers, yeah,
close to it. Yeah, they reckon. Yeah, depends what.
I reckon they're hyping it though.
Mm. Anyway,
we'll find out.
You know, we've talked about everything. We're not going to talk about Sterling anymore. But there is one topic about his mistress that nobody's really talked about, and it's her level of hotness. And I think we just need to kind of just analyze it just for a moment. You know, what's all the fuss about with this lady? Why is he spending all his money on this chick? Can you just read that for me? It's a little buy-up on this woman.
Stiviano was born Maria Vanessa Perez in October 1982 in Los Angeles, but successfully petitioned to change her name to V. Stiviano in 2010. There's no explanation for what the name means, but a stated reason in the court filing was born from a rape case and having yet been fully accepted because of my race.
So she changed her name to like an Italian name.
Whoa.
Yeah. Maria Vanessa Perez.
Okay.
Where's
did not know
where
that.
Is that?
Fox source. News.
It's Fox News.
Oh, okay.
In my notes, you can say... And that couldn't be a lie because it's from the most reliable source, news source in the world, Fox News. But I'm just saying that's what her name was, and this is what her name is now. Now, if we could just turn the page, I've selected four images of V yada yada.
Everyone at home, turn the page.
And I just want to know, what do you think? Hot or
not? She's not hot.
She's definitely not hot.
No, she's got fake tits. She's like...
Nah,
I mean,
one out of four photos.
Yeah, like if you were like at a party and you know,
she was born
a couple
in
of beers down, it'd be great.
She's your age, she's 31.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if I was 80, I'd be happy to clean that up
all day.
Sterling was saying that they're not romantically linked
anymore,
obviously.
That's a rumor.
Well,
she said
she
looks at him like a father figure.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that she's kind of like his handler, sort of, not like she's a personal assistant, but it's all off the books, it's all cash and everything. So it's just a weird one. I think I'm pretty sure she would have sucked his dick.
Oh,
yeah.
All day.
You don't get those jobs
all
without
day.
Some lip service.
Yeah.
And you see his latest comment is he wish he paid her off.
Yeah, totally.
But apparently, sorry, one more thing. You know how everyone's sort of saying, oh, where are the tapes coming from? And it's private and, you know, she won't stand up and stuff. Apparently, she's been recording him for a long time and there's hours and hours of conversations because he's going a bit senile and he can't remember his thoughts. So she asked him to... he asked her to record his thoughts and conversations and stuff. And if that's true, then he's proper fucked.
He should just release the audiobooks and become more of a billionaire because everyone would be into that.
So Reggie Miller was saying, I think during game 6, this is the best first round playoffs he's seen in 30 years. Chris Webber said, this is the best playoffs I've ever been a part of, including what I've played in.
That I didn't call a timeout in.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr isn't even coaching the Knicks yet. Do you guys agree with what those guys are saying, or you think?
I've never been invested in watching this much ball, 10 years ago because we couldn't do it. So it's hard to say.
So let's talk a little bit about Houston and Portland. Just start with the most exciting. Anyone got anything they want to say about this?
Just so impressed with Portland. So impressed with Lillard, to be honest. His first playoff experience, they didn't make the playoffs last year. For a sort of, rookie playoff, if I can say that. He was injured. He hurt himself. I remember game one, he hurt himself and they were down 11, maybe 6 minutes, 7 minutes to go in game one in Houston. And he, that was a time where you could go shrink and hide, but he just manned up. He hit some clutch shots. Everything went through him on the offense and it was so impressive to watch. I just remember thinking these kids got balls. Let's not forget LaMarcus.
I felt really bad for Howard. I felt like he tried so goddamn
hard. He had a great series.
He did.
Yeah, it was a monster.
There was something really interesting I thought of the whole series. There was a moment in the fourth quarter where Harden was sitting for a majority of the fourth quarter. The last couple of games he played great, but those first four he was very kind of inconsistent, like Chandler Parsons was, hit and miss. I felt really bad for Beverly as well, having so much energy and so much fire in the first game and then just got sick.
He got the flu.
It's amazing
mad,
how that sort of shit happens. You play, 90 games and all of a sudden, you get caught up in it all. But I felt like the X factor there was if Harden and Chandler Parsons were more consistent in the first four games, it would have been totally different.
Couldn't agree with you more. Let's face it, if Harden played at his peak every game, they probably would have won the series because he had a couple of donkeys. Even a game they won, he took 37 shots.
They wouldn't have lost the first two games on their home court, that's for sure. And that was kind of a shape the series massively.
Totally.
Yeah. And they wouldn't have to bring a D-League dude up to jack a bunch of threes, which was probably the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So impressive.
There's so many little tidbits to that series.
Yeah.
Troy Daniels, that was amazing. Not only hit that big three, hit three free throws the first time he's been to the line ever. Jeremy Lin played really good at the end of the series, even though he basically cost them two games. He missed a layup right at
and
the
he
end
had that
of
turnover.
100%. So he
Mo Williams hit that three.
So huge. Also, you can't T-Rob. Thomas Robinson was massive. They needed another big. Portland did. Freeland was fucking useless basically the whole season. That was crazy. And then the tactical stuff as well. Switching to the Twin Towers, playing Ashik and Howard together, which was remarkably effective. But game 6 was a real weird one because Harden had 30 points after three quarters, maybe 32, and didn't really touch the ball for a 7 minute stretch at the end of the game, even though everything was going well.
Yeah, I was saying to you, they went to Howard multiple times in the post, and he got fouled most of the time he was down there. I thought it was amazing that they didn't at least, switch, or at least he waited for a double team. They weren't really double teaming him, though.
No, there was really late to double.
Yeah, I think that they just got away from what they did all season, which is defer to Harden. He was just missing shots in the first couple of games and playing rubbish. So, you're naturally going to go, oh, he's going to suck. He's not going to hit these shots. But really, that's what Houston's offense was about most of the year. Harden's he's a leading scorer in fast breaks. He's one of the leading scorers in the league. And that's how he gets his points.
Yeah, but they're not... They totally ref differently in the whole second...
Sure. He didn't get to the stripe as much. Sure.
He didn't get the stripe really at all. And that's what they kept bringing up.
So what are you saying? He's going to have to take... try and penetrate dish maybe to Howard, which wasn't that common, although they got a big bucket to tie the game doing that in game 6.
They got to switch or get away from playing three scores, just three. It felt like 3-on-5.
It's very predictable.
Yeah, really predictable.
And you could, I tend to agree with you at some points because in the first half, I think it was either game 5 or 6, Parsons was going off.
Yeah.
And Parsons isn't a dude who really likes to create for himself. Lin did a good job of getting in the ball. But, he becomes a non-factor at the end of an important game, and they end up losing the game. You know, so
well
it's
anyway,
tough.
They're out. Give credit to Portland.
Yeah. Portland blocked almost 10 shots a game that series. That's crazy. That's outrageous. Yep. That's a shitload of blocks.
And who's doing that? Lopez mostly. Aldridge. Let's not forget Aldridge going off everyone for 43 and 46, game 1 and 2 or something like that.
Yeah,
and not like easy shots, like all out of the post, all fadeaways, all tough hooks, all
he's
driving.
Bringing the mid-range game back.
It was
like,
sexy.
So good.
Yeah.
It's especially when we're surrounded in the league by it's either a three-pointer or something epic down low.
Or layups or
there's
dunks.
The jump shot, you know, like I keep trying to bring it up, but there's no real cool way to talk about the fact that nobody's shooting jump shots anymore, but he is.
Yeah.
And he's shown you how it can still be effective. And
it's effective at playoff time, 100%.
Because
you don't get those easy looks
because of his height,
in the lane.
Where he releases the ball from, how quickly he can shoot, and somebody that big shooting that consistently. It's so like refreshing to see somebody just shoot a mid-range shot instead of jacking up a three all the time.
So Portland,
other than Stephon Curry,
Portland will go on now to face
whoever wins out of San Antonio,
right?
And Dallas.
Yeah, well, whoever won. It'll be OKC versus
the
Clippers.
Well,
yeah, it's going to be pretty nuts for LaMarcus now. That was about the only series really where an elite power forward isn't playing in the West. You know, it would have either been Zebo or Dirk or Duncan, Griffin, Barker even, you know.
Sure.
Shitloads of force. So, like, it's going to be interesting the rest of the way out if he can keep dominating.
How do you guys think they'll go in the next round then? Do you think they'll match up better with Dallas or with San Antonio?
I think they'll match up better against those teams than they would against OKC. I think they're going to be a good team to match up against an older team.
Well, who they play? They play Dallas or San Antonio, don't they?
Yeah, that's
right. I'm just trying to say in general, like, both those teams are a little bit older, so I think they'll match up well against them.
I think you'd probably want Dallas, wouldn't you?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
And they got a bit more offensive firepower.
Well, you're going to have to put Dirk on Aldridge, aren't you?
They'll run the Haitian. They might run the Haitian
on
him
on
a bit of time.
Yeah,
I think they'd rather have Dirk.
Well, you're just going to make Dirk work a lot more on defense. That's my point.
Yeah.
I think you'd prefer that. And I think Lillard could probably take Calderon all day. I don't think they're going to put Monte on him. So it should be interesting. Yeah. That's whether or not they win. Sorry.
Yeah, I think they'd match up better against Dallas and San Antonio.
The Spurs.
But what a fucking series it would be, San Antonio
versus
Portland.
Yeah,
it's going to be 120-point games all over the place. It's going to be amazing.
You guys feel like talking about Brooklyn versus Toronto, that series at all?
Sure!
Even though we haven't watched game seven.
That's what we're going to watch.
Here's something interesting. Highest scoring backcourt in the playoffs so far, 2014. DeRozan and Lowry with 42.8 points per game versus Curry Thompson, 39, Lillard Matthews, 38.3, and Harden Beverly, 38.3.
It's a bit unexpected, for sure.
Mike Lowry was going to get traded.
Mike Lowry.
He was going to go to the Knicks. Good thing they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And DeRozan is a gangster.
Yeah, averaging 25.
Totally. Having little baby fits on the side of the bench, just sitting there by himself.
It was cool to see. We covered it, but the Toronto fans outside.
That's
the games,
been the best
because they had the
thing
home court
about this whole series.
Oh, it was so cool to see. Like thousands of people outside the arena watching on a big screen. The owners saying, fuck Brooklyn. You know, like as much as that's, you can't have it. It's pretty cool if you're a Toronto fan and your owner's like just letting everyone know and not afraid of it. What's he going to get? A fine? Do you get a 25 grand fine?
I think
or
it's
something?
So exciting.
Totally worth it.
Totally worth
every
it.
Penny.
Yeah.
It's so exciting too because they're in the same division as well. You know, and they've been battling for first place in the division, and Toronto's held it. And
bring on the rivalries.
As,
great.
As Drake says, it's Canada's team. So, you know, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think? Where did Game 7, who do you think you're going to watch it?
Are we going to do a prediction?
Yeah. Do it. Yeah, of course.
I thought it was going to be over by now already, the series. I didn't really give Toronto much of a chance. To be fair, I didn't really watch tons of them during the year, but I thought Brooklyn came on real well. I'm expecting Brooklyn to win Game 7, but
on the road. You can't undermine that home court advantage in Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a loud, fully packed crowd full of fanatical fans, and they play really good at home.
I think I'm with you guys. I think Brooklyn will probably get him. It doesn't rattle Pierce and Garnett. And
we'll sound like
too
dicks
much.
If we're wrong.
Yeah, totally.
We'll just tape it.
What a good story for Toronto either way. You know, they've taken Brooklyn to 7. If they get through the second round, that's the first playoff series they would have won in forever. So it's cool. It's a good story, and they've got a lot to build on.
If Brooklyn didn't have Pierce, I'd think differently.
Yeah,
I just
right.
feel like between Pierce and Joe Johnson, it's probably going to come down to the wire. I trust those guys more than I trust
Joe Johnson was insane in that game 6. I think, was it game 6? Toronto won. And they were down like 20, 28 at one point. Joe Johnson just started hitting.
Hitting him, yeah.
And they came back and tied it.
Yeah.
And what about your favorite coach, Wes? Jason Kidd, making some key adjustments, taking Livingston out of the starting
friendly
lineup.
Friendly to the journalists who ask him questions. Loves his players.
Just a great guy. Great
picking
coach.
Out who's scoring well.
An NBA champion, a future Hall of Famer, Jason Kidd.
I think there's a lot of pressure on him, though. They have to win this. I mean, they've spent... Well, they, as in the trillionaire owner, have spent so much money on this
Paul
team.
Well, Paul Pierce is off contract, isn't he?
Mm. Oh, I thought he signed 2 years. I thought he's
no,
got
this
one.
Is the last year.
I think he's only got one. It's still his Boston contract.
Yeah, okay.
I think Garnett's got another year.
Okay.
But he could. This could very well be.
They could blow it up after this.
Pierce's last.
I think
game
if they
Brooklyn.
Don't get through this round, they'll blow it up.
They can't really though. No one's taking Joe Johnson's contract. Yeah. Lopez, same deal. Williams is very hard to trade. Also, so they're the only people. That's the only place where those guys can live because there's so much money tied up in it. But yeah, trouble. It's going
to
be hectic.
Well, how many times did they go to Jay-Z and Beyonce during Game 6?
I'm going to say seven.
I'm going to say
times?
Not enough. Beyonce was looking pretty sweet.
Damn.
Banging.
Speaking of, the most exciting part of that entire series was when Rihanna walked all the way across the court and she was wearing just a singlet, no bra, nipples.
Oh, side boob.
And just to listen to the announcers try and deal with that. And it just
who was doing the series?
Rihanna.
Who was it?
She
I can't remember.
Oh, I can't
fantastic.
Remember.
Fantastic. It was so awkward and so rad.
You can just fucking
no
Google
bra.
Image it.
You'll
see it. You can get all the images you want. Banging. Just Google image it right
and
now.
And we're going to whittle down the commentary teams. This is the exciting part.
Yeah.
The closer we get to just being Marv and Mike Breen, the better it is.
It won't happen because they're the same guy. They're the anchor. You need a Steve Kerr.
No, I mean like the two separate teams. You
oh,
know,
right.
Like
sorry.
Someone doing East, someone doing West.
So who's the guy who does with Chris Webber?
Oh, the close talker.
Yeah, he's a close talker. Yeah. He's got mad thick glasses.
I don't mind
he can't
him,
see really well, but you can see like Chris Webber always kind of look at him and then he always kind of leans into his face and it just makes him
I kind of think Webber's on the fringe because he gets too animated
he's
and
just
too
learning.
Pumped. Yeah,
he's
true.
A
well, someone's
going
to fill the
Reggie
the place
should help him out. Reggie's been there.
Oh, yeah, Reggie's money. And Reggie and Kevin Harlan. I got time for that. I got time for Tarico as well and Hubie. That's gold.
Yeah, give him a lot of credit.
You got to give him a ton of credit.
Speaking of time, I think it's time for Rabbit to hit us with a hypothetical.
Okay. Yeah.
Here we go. It's, this is where we take something. I
really struggled with this.
Up.
You know, like
it's your first time.
Yeah.
Doing a segment,
and plus,
know,
I was trying to make it a little bit more like related to the playoffs and stuff. So, anyway, I don't have like this is for you bag and this is for you Wes.
Yeah.
Because I was watching a Bulls championship one. You know, like all those ones, and I was looking at Steve Kerr's career and stuff, and you know, I've been hearing a lot of him, obviously, and this Knicks thing. So I was going to ask you guys. Would you rather have Steve Kerr's career, which is playing with MJ and winning 5 rings, respected NBA commentator, potential NBA coach, but predominantly always riding coattails all the way through your career? Mm. Or have Allen Iverson's career, never winning a ring, being one of the most arrogant fucks in NBA history, going broke, having to play in Turkey, but will probably make the Hall of Fame just for his game and his balls.
Speaking of Allen Iverson, his documentary just got released.
Yeah.
So just aware of that. And speaking of documentaries, before we answer this,
The Bad Boys.
Is it a Steve Kerr documentary?
There is no Steve Kerr.
Oh, I'd watch it.
It's shelved with the Nash documentary. It's a 12-part series. But the Bad Boys Pistons, we want to give that a shout out.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Have you guys watched it yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
Dude, it's
too much ball.
Anyway. So would we rather be Steve Kerr, a man with rings?
A man with rings, a man with a career, a respected. Authority on the game, possibly NBA coach.
Will be.
Or would you be where Allen Iverson is right now? You know, which isn't good.
I would be...
Although he just got his jersey retired in Philly and that was all very heartwarming and shit, you know?
I think even though Iverson's friends with a lot of the players in the NBA now, you can't... 5 rings? What?
Yeah, well,
what?
I'm just interested.
You'd be like, what? Who cares?
Yeah, then Allen would go, you didn't play fucking any time.
And then he'd show him his
MJ.
Ring and he'd go...
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're potentially in line to be a coach, you are respected around
100%.
The league. If you're being asked to be a commentator, that means people want to know what you have to say. They're not asking Allen Iverson.
So you're going,
where's
he'll
Allen
just
Iverson?
Say
yeah,
practice.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll just say
where's
practice.
It? Yeah,
practice.
Totally. And you couldn't find a more humble person. He's the first one to admit he's not the, you know, the one that won it for him. You know, he just hit big shots. But I think if I could have his attitude as well, I mean, it's the total package, right?
So you're going with Steve Kerr?
all day.
Yeah.
Didn't Iverson go to prison? Tripping?
But out of college.
He punched his coach.
That's right.
No, it was just out of college.
Iverson made a rap album under the AKA Jules with a Z.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Pretty shit.
It's like Wholesome Steve or Gangsta Allen. That's what it is.
I'm going. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I'd love to be the man, score 30 points a game, have everyone doubt me, and then come back from all the adversity.
Mad tats, mad cornrows.
Everyone said I couldn't fucking do it, but I fucking the arm did sleeve. It.
That jumper in the LA in the finals against LA. They won.
But I'm taking Steve Kerr. I'd rather be relevant for ages. And like, of all the stuff that Iverson did, Steve Kerr won the NBA finals.
I know.
You know, I just have one huge block-mounted poster of me letting that go with no one else
in the
frame.
One on the shot clock.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'll tell you about Michael Jordan
and
later.
MJ,
I won the NBA
And MJ
finals.
Gave it up to you. Like, he had faith in you to hit the jumper
when he was
doubled.
Yeah, he's got more interesting teammates. Yeah. He's got more interesting friends. I would kill to be an NBA color analyst.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Did you know
that's
I have a man crush on Steve
and
Kerr?
And I could go to the Clippers games if I'm Steve Kerr.
Why would you choose?
Well, I struggled with it. Because I think Allen Iverson had just incredible basketball talent, and the way he played was insane. Everything off the court is one thing.
And Turkey is beautiful, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Olympos all day.
Yeah,
but his game in general, he'll probably make the Hall of Fame. Is that
a
stretch?
Totally.
Steve Kerr won't.
The arm sleeve. People.
Steve Kerr probably won't make the Hall of Fame. Fair?
Unless
Steve Kerr
coaches the shit out of it.
He probably won't make the Hall of Fame.
Well, he should have been up already if he had it as a player.
Okay, so
definitely not as a player.
So he's not going to make it as a player.
Maybe like...
That's my point. I'm just showing you the contrast here.
He might. He might as a coach, as an analyst.
Well,
if you're
going down that road.
As a character.
But
of
as
game.
A player. I'm just saying as an NBA career. Yeah. Well, I just thought it was interesting.
Oh, I think that was
all right. Great. Well, there's Rabbit's hypothetical. Not bad for your first time.
It wasn't sexual. It wasn't. There was no hand jobs, but I thought of it.
I was going to say there's no.
There's still time for hand jobs.
Yeah, I actually got a semi-sexual one coming up. But yeah,
great. So we got another hypothetical coming up in Manga next week. So get ready for that.
No, I got one coming up this podcast.
I know.
Sorry.
All good. Calm down. That's all right.
Can we
Let's talk about Chicago and the Washington Wizards. Chicago, God. Did anyone feel after they lost like?
It was
God, that's
awful.
Over.
It was awful at times.
Yeah, it's great not having to watch them play anymore.
Yeah,
it is, because it's such an emotional roller coaster ride with them.
Hmm.
All my friends are Chicago Bulls fans, from neighbors to over the bridge friends. It's just so emotionally draining to watch them deal with it. As a Suns fan, I don't deal with any of that shit. God.
Expectations.
They really think it's going to happen like this year or next year. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They do the most with what they've got.
They do.
It's remarkable. Yeah. You know, you take, you know, dang.
Kobe Bryant wants.
And Jerry Rose. Oh, 100%. It's a great system. And like, it's so admirable. They play their style of game every game, and you got to beat them at their own game. Mm. Noah is a beast. He deserves to be first team All NBA this year. But you see what happens when the matchups are bad and you can't stay in front of a couple of guys and they just didn't have the horses.
And they can't score.
And Noah's gone from second or third best player to their best player.
Yeah.
And just when Taj Gibson twisted his ankle in the last few minutes of that game, I was just like, kill me.
But honestly, I don't think I'd rather be any other team this offseason than Chicago.
Yeah. Mm.
If they're smart enough to amnesty Boozer, that's a lot of cash. They still got cash from the Deng trade. Mm-hmm. And... fingers crossed, Derrick Rose can survive. So they're in a position to get like some good pieces. They've got a good coach
and
system in place. They'll probably piss DJ Augustine off like they do all their backup point guards and get someone who everyone thinks is going to suck and make them amazing like they've done the last 3 years in a row.
Yep.
So
Dunleavy, he was huge.
Dunleavy hit 8 threes in the game.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
They get the best out of mediocre players.
All I know is they had Noah, Ashik, Rose, Deng, Boozer, and they couldn't do it then. So I don't know how much is going
to
change.
Who's to say if they kept that was the first time Derrick Rose was like 22 years old when that happened.
Mm. Yep.
If they had kept that core together, who knows what might have happened.
True that.
They got Eastern Conference Finals and they got beasted by Miami. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I agree with you guys. Like Chicago are in a great position. Even when they're mediocre, they're still respected, which is huge. So if you're weighing it up, where to go and. They're in the conversation everywhere.
Yeah.
So they're in a good position if they can
John
make some
Wall
moves.
John Wall has the coolest swag in the NBA. He looks straight out of 1976.
It was
gangster sideburns, mad moves. Beal's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They haven't been in the playoffs for how many years? Like
they made it 1 year with
Gilbert Arenas in 2004,
it was. Won a playoff or whatever,
But good on him, though. It's cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't think they'll go further, but... Oh, sorry.
Well, they got Indiana. They got Indiana now.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, I don't think they can beat Indiana. We'll talk about that
again. Well, I don't know. I reckon they'll give Indiana some trouble.
Yeah. Well, if they can get Nene happening.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. They're up against... It's two bigs versus two bigs now. You know, no one's got that distinct advantage. So it's got to be what can Ariza and Beal and Wall do?
There's X factors there.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, George Hill, John Wall, I'll tell you who's got the fucking advantage there.
Yeah, I know.
All day.
Totally. And then Stevenson and Beal's a pretty interesting matchup as well then, isn't it?
Yeah, fully.
So I'm not sure.
Do you think...
Probably go to six. Probably go to six games.
It's going to be a super interesting series. It's awesome that Washington are taking a step. Because now you just want to see they got a great little young nucleus. They got some vets. That's going to be... Next year, I want them to do even better than this year. Hopefully, we're... Like, Beal could be an animal in this.
He could be an all-star.
League. Yeah, he's still only baby.
I like this. I like teams like... Even Charlotte making the playoffs was super cool. Washington, Toronto. It's almost like the... You know, it's shifting a little bit in sort of powerhouse teams and stuff. And it'll be great. It'll be good to see.
Totally.
For me, like, watching Washington's energy versus any other team in the East was the most exciting brand of basketball.
Yeah, cool.
And I watch Bulls games all regular season, and I have to turn it off after about halfway because it's so fucking boring. But when the Wizards, I just thought it was just fantastic. Let's go on to a little bit of L.A. Holden State.
Well,
yeah, it's still a bit touchy because it was only last night. But yeah. Yeah, what a cool series.
Amazing. Second best.
All the ball.
Second best series in the West.
Yeah. It was great.
What about OKC and Memphis? That's got to be up there.
That was massive. But I honestly, the moment you don't let Zach Randolph play Game 7 killed the whole excitement for me. I banned Game 7 because it was just...
It was four overtime games in a row.
I know. It was the most exciting series in the world. And then all of a sudden...
I know. We'll get an anticlimax.
We'll get into that in a little bit. Yeah. It pisses me off.
So this is your baby. You're Golden State.
Let's hear it.
There's not really much to say. I mean, I think you got the most out of them you could, taking the Clippers to 7 with no Bogut. And, you know, just a pretty disgruntled offense at times. You know, if Curry and Klay Thompson weren't hitting threes, like, I thought it was... We were in a lot of trouble when we got beasted by 40 in Game 2. Like... You know, sometimes that's too hard to recover from. But credit, they lost the next game at home, Game 3 they lost. And then they came back and won Game 4 amidst all the controversy and stuff. And then, you know, that Game 6 win was humongous at home.
Yep,
crazy. DeAndre Jordan was huge in Game 5 and got them over the line. I wasn't... Man, like, some of the role players from Golden State, like Iggy, had a pretty good series. Draymond Green
played out of his mind.
And they did that, the switch. It was noticeable Game 7, but they're doing it a bit throughout the series where they put him on Jordan, and Jordan had to come out of the lane and respect his three. That was opening up all sorts of lanes for everyone else. So, you know, they at times, the matchups were really tough for the Clippers, but I just felt the Clippers were a little bit deeper in the end.
Here it is for me.
Yeah.
Out of both teams... The best player on the court was Blake Griffin. He was the most vicious.
I would disagree with that.
Who do you think was better?
I thought DeAndre was the player of the series for sure.
But, like, are you counting all the assists to DeAndre? Half of his points are because Blake Griffin passed it to him and attracted a double team.
Offensive standpoint.
Oh, okay.
Offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, blocks. Average 5 blocks a game.
Yeah.
That's 25 shots that could have gone in. That's 50 points that he could have saved.
And no Hacker Jordan. As well during the series.
Well, yeah, we made him earn it. They put him on the line at the
banked
end of
in a
couple.
It was gross.
Oh, so yeah, he banked one in on her on Game 7.
Yeah,
but he was a beast.
That was
a game-winning play in Game 7 when he blocked Steph Curry's layup.
You could argue that he came of age a little bit in this series, and he was expected to. He had a lot of pressure to do it, and he came up pretty big. I thought Chris Paul, he was injured a lot, you know, and he's still nursing injuries. But he's still massive. You know who was a massive X factor was Crawford, man. He hit some killer threes. He hit some big shots. He carried them at times, and he was like he's like such a coach killer. But I think Doc's got him on a good leash where he's like, you know, you got the green light when you come off the bench. And so, I mean, when you're hitting 4-point plays and threes from the car park, and it's actually part of the offense, like, I mean, what do you do? How do you defend that?
Sorry,
go for
we're on the same wavelength. Do you know how many 4-point plays there's been?
7?
14.
Wow.
And that's not including today. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about converting. I know Iggy missed one or two.
Yeah,
maybe.
He missed one. Yeah.
But that's crazy. 4-point plays?
It's
like every time you saw that, like, Caron Butler got one.
Yeah. Westbrook got one. Durant.
Crawford got a couple.
Yeah, but so it's like a mixture of obviously people taking a lot more threes and the NBA protecting the jump shot more.
And Blake Griffin hitting people in the dick when they go up to shoot him.
That was on Green.
Which is like terrible.
That was on Green. Hey?
Yeah, it was on Iggy.
Oh, sorry. It was on Iggy. Yeah. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, they all look like legit fouls, and guys are stepping into threes and knocking him down. Like,
hey, let's talk about douchebag of the month.
Of the month?
Now, yeah, well, you know, we do this once every couple of weeks, but it's a monthly honor. If I were to print out a certificate, it wouldn't say week, it'd say month, and you'd own it. For me, guys... Apple TV, fucking playoffs, fucking up, error every 5 minutes, live game, error. Mm. Anyone listening, I encourage you, email Apple TV and tell them to suck your balls because that is unacceptable. We pay more money for League Pass in this country than anywhere else in the world. If you're going to offer a premium price, deliver a premium package. Fuck you, douche of the month.
Yeah.
That's couldn't agree more. They send you on this like epic maze of doing things like going, oh, I'm having some trouble with my Apple TV. Or they're like, why don't you like break it in half and figure out how it was made, put it back together again, then write me an email and tell me how it's going. No, I'm not going to fucking do that. It just sucks. I just want to push the buttons and watch the TV.
That's the problem. I gave you my Apple TV. It sucked balls.
Well, it's just, I'm not going to get into it. It makes me mad.
Great regular season. Yeah. Worked best ever this year. And then suddenly the playoffs happened.
Just go back to the laptop, and it's fine.
I don't want to. It's 2014. Fine. I want my Apple TV to work.
Well, it sounds like you're having more trouble with Apple TV. Just go back to the lappy. It's fine.
Who's your douche of the week?
I don't really have one because I thought it was too obvious with Sterling and you were dominating on Apple TV, which is rightly so. But I guess if I thought about it, I'd say David West because I just don't like the way he acted the whole... the whole series.
He like won game 7 for him.
No, but like just his
or game 6, sorry.
I don't know. I hate his mentality on the court. He's always starting little niggling fights for no reason, like
no Hibbert? Just choking?
I said that last time.
He wasn't expecting that.
And don't get me wrong, I thought like I'm going to say that Indiana are like don't write him off or anything, but I just don't like David West the way he plays game. I mean,
he won game 6 for him.
Yeah, I know. It's more his personality and what the few. I've been watching so much ball, and he whinges and complains every call. And he's
no Kendrick Perkins, so don't don't put him in that.
I told you I didn't have one. It's just probably like a semi tool kind of guy of the week, or just a little like your personality.
Well, outside of the dish of the week is my brain. Every time I watch a game, I forget the last game that I watched. It's too much information.
I'm right there with you.
Or really, the only other thing I could think of was Joey Crawford.
Oh, yeah.
He's the worst. And how's he like basically cost the Thunder a game the other night when he froze out Kevin Durant to scream at someone on the bench about their...
For not putting the foul
scoreboard
up.
Not showing that they're in the bonus when everyone knew they were in the bonus.
And why couldn't you just stop after the free throw and tell everyone?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was weird.
Exactly. No matter what happens, if it goes in, you call it. If it rims out, you just stop it. Yeah. You call it the technical timeout right there.
Yeah.
But like the guy, and this the way he officiates games are awful as well. Fuck Joey Crawford.
You can Google or go to YouTube and go Joey Crawford like dick or something or just... And you see all the calls from last
Joey Crawford's
year.
Dick.
And just like... Yeah, I think everyone in the NBA would say he's like the most annoying ref for sure.
So that's the douche. Let's get really in the deep. Like you said, four overtime wins or five overtime. Was it four overtime? Okay,
four straight games going overtime.
Definitely one of the most enjoyable series until all of a sudden you punch the biggest Maori on OKC's team, the first ever New Zealander, well, not the first ever, but the only active New Zealander playing. And so no Randolph for game 7. Yeah. Talk about buzzkill.
What a window. Yeah,
it was. And, you know, you got to be a bit smarter than that. You were down 20 at the time. You know, like, you got to relax.
Here's what
the game's over.
Is like,
you got to get ready for game 7.
You were saying, Bagman, that, you know, this is a guy that loves it rough. He loves being physical. And
Steven Adams,
I've watched all series long, every flashback to him or slow motion, he's getting punched, elbowed, he's hitting someone. Mm. What's the deal with this guy?
Yeah, how is it that he can get under so many people's skin?
What I want to know is it kind of like a rookie superstar mentality where it's like, who's this rook think he is? I'm going to teach him a lesson. Or is it them mistaking him for a white guy and never seeing the movie Once Were Warriors and are absolutely completely oblivious that this is a fucking Maori guy that will eat
eggs. He's going to cook him some eggs.
You know what I mean, though?
Well, he's...
What's the deal?
I don't know. Maybe it's the whole Sean Bradley complex, you know, where you're just massive and lanky and throw elbows, like unintentional elbows, or you take people out. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting one. And like, yeah, Zeebo is the cheapest sort of... He loves that shit. He loves the rough and tumble.
I can't say.
A bit of a shock.
I was pretty surprised with the way this series went. You know, like any of those overtime games, either team could have won and it would have changed the series. Like it could have been... like over in five games.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we are. Like the momentum swings were nuts.
Tony Allen's defense on the first two games
was
out of control.
Yeah.
Way too much hero
ball.
His
scoring was crazy.
You know, I think like the Rockets didn't adjust for that playoffs.
Yeah.
OKC just thought, yeah, we'll just play the same way we've been playing all regular season. Well, and it doesn't work. And those first two games, there were so many ridiculous threes, unnecessary threes. The offense hadn't even set up and just jacking threes, as you called it, too much hero ball in the beginning of that series.
I think, though, that they recovered well. Obviously, there was some big issues with Westbrook taking 31 shots in game five. But KD only having 20, and he's like the leading scorer, NBA scorer, you know, probably MVP. So you can't really have that. But I think they adjusted well. Westbrook went back to being more of a facilitator. You know, he had a lot less shots in game six and took better shots. He wasn't taking those threes. He's money from mid-range. And he's money when he has those, you know, moments where he explodes and gets the steals and the dunks. You know, like, he's a momentum changer. So, I don't know. What about the headline when they called KD Mr. Unreliable? Pretty nuts.
I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. They won the series. They won a tough seven-game series.
And he came back from that, you know, and scored 36 in game six.
Yeah,
so.
He was a beast. He was a beast in the end of the games. Westbrook got a triple-double in game seven.
Yeah.
These guys are legit.
Yeah, totally.
And so you got to let them do their thing, you know, come hell or high water.
But Memphis played pretty good. Like, the role players were good. Like you said, Tony Allen was huge.
Amazing.
Mike Mirror.
Your mate Mike Mirror. Like,
as Gasol was on the court, it was fantastic.
The only problem I got with Mike Mirror is his speed stripes. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Thinks it's like the mid-90s. He's got three little stripes in the
side. And he's
in
Memphis.
Head.
Like, it's not like Miami or anything anymore.
Maybe it's like Townsville. They're like 15, 20 years behind.
I thought it was pretty interesting, though. Just my little takeaway from it was KD was having tons of trouble whenever he tried to take more than like two dribbles. But anytime he was catching shooting, he looked very good.
Yeah.
And it took him like six games to figure it out. Or maybe he didn't even figure it out. But if you watch it back, tons of things on catch and shoot before Allen has a chance to get up in his beak.
Yep.
He can just rise up
Release.
And go for it.
Yeah.
All day. So I think it's on Scotty Brooks to maybe like make some more adjustments. But he pulled Cephalosha and got Butler in there.
That was
the whole reason why
good.
He's there.
Yeah.
So for some reason, he figured out that Reggie Jackson's much better than Derek Fisher at playing basketball at this stage of the game.
Funny that.
To unleash him.
Yeah.
You know, just like go where the money is. Like, I think, you know, it was a bit of a no-brainer to make those moves. And Adams as well, to some extent.
Let's not forget, these guys have been playing pretty serious playoff games against each other for the last like 3 or 4 years.
The Grizzlies really shouldn't have been in eighth place.
They're not an eighth seed. But that's the thing with this whole playoffs. Like, you're looking at Atlanta and maybe Charlotte were probably an eighth seed, fair enough. But like, Atlanta weren't an eighth seed. And I don't think Memphis, I don't think Dallas, like, really, when you look at it like over a seven game series, you're not considering them an eighth
seed. I think
or a
Atlanta
seed.
Are an eighth seed.
I don't know. I don't reckon. Hey.
I would take, with the Charlotte comparisons fair, I'd expect them to get beaten in a seven game series by any other team except for Charlotte in the
what
East.
What about Washington, Atlanta with a healthy Al Horford?
Well, a healthy Al Horford's different.
Yeah. Well, I guess he got injured at the start of the season, didn't he? He's been out for a while. I don't know. They impressed me. Atlanta impressed me.
14 games under 500.
Yeah, and they still made the playoffs. That shows how weak the East is, though. But yeah, I mean, Jeff Teague's going to be something there. It looks like he's found his groove pretty well. Korver's always going to be like your guy who's going to hit your threes. But guys like, you know, Sheldon Mack came out of nowhere. He's been pretty good.
Shelvin?
What was it?
Shelvin.
I thought it was Sheldon.
Not Shelvin.
Shelvin. Really?
Yeah, like
legit?
Shelvin.
Not like
Bills.
Elvin, like with a little Chippendale. Alvin! Is it Alvin?
Alvin!
Mike Scott was pretty massive. He's probably had the dunk of the playoffs so far. That
For
was
sure.
humongous. I don't know. They impressed me. I like the way they played.
I disagree with that. Even though that was a massive dunk, Westbrook's dunk in the first or second game. First one wasn't counted, and then the other one, the explosive dunk.
Yeah, but it wasn't on anyone.
Yeah, no,
I know, but it was just so fast and intense and explosive and
you'll
powerful.
You'll do that in practice. Go and watch it.
No. I always prefer a facial.
Totally who doesn't?
All right, let's move on to the last...
I'll do my hypothetical.
I thought we were going to splice it in with a...
Oh, okay, sure. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
Whenever you guys want it, just let me know.
Okay, cool. I thought we'd finish up on one last hypothetical so we could all have a happy laugh at the end of this. But Dallas and San Antonio, again, we are just about to watch Game 7 of that.
And we got Atlanta and Indy as well, which we haven't spoken about.
It was huge.
I know you're excited about that, Wes.
Excited about Atlanta.
All right. I watched, I was just talking about Atlanta and saying I was impressed with them. You just heard all the things I had to say. I don't think Indiana,
I guess we're talking about Atlanta and Indiana now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
just
do it.
Let's just a quick touch on it. Yeah.
Go.
Well, I just don't think everyone should be writing off Indiana just yet. I think they got their shit together a little bit. It just shows when Hibbert scores a couple of points and is a bit more of a presence inside, they're going to get it done. All the other players throughout the series played their own game. Like David West, even though I said he was a bit of a douche, he had a monster series. He was huge. Yeah. Paul George had a great series. You can't deny that. Stevenson was humongous. He gave him energy when they needed it. Mm. He carried them at times as well. And even like Nahimi came in when Hibbert was sucking and had a pretty good, as a second backup center, he was pretty solid. I think you don't want to write off Indiana just yet. Everyone's sort of, saying they're done, but nah. They've proved their point that it might test them. They played a 7-game series against Atlanta. This might be just what they needed to wake them up.
I don't believe in Indiana. I don't think they're going to trouble the Heat at all. I've been watching the last couple of months.
Yeah, I didn't say they'll get through to the finals, but I think they'll get to the Eastern Conference finals.
Yeah, fair enough. They are slowly getting their confidence back.
Yeah. There's just a few things. They let in a 41-point quarter.
Yeah, that was
against
gross.
A team that's 14 games under.
But those guys shoot a lot of threes. They set a record for how many threes they shot. Just in Game 7, they attempted 43 threes.
Well, you're allowed
something.
To defend them. They're low percentage shots.
Yeah.
Also, when was the last time an All-Star went for 0.0 rebounds in a playoff game the same year they voted an All-Star? Fucking
it was
never.
Gross. But I'm saying they backed their center when he was struggling. They had guys come in and take the weight for a little bit.
Well, I think Derrick Rose had a better playoffs than Hibbert has so far.
Yeah,
that's saying something.
That's fair.
But, fair enough. I agree with Vogel, even though it took him 6 games. They're the number one seed.
Yeah.
They do it that way. And I think it sends a really bad message to Miami or any other team they're playing if they say, we're going to change our style.
Yeah, shake everything up.
Yeah, you got to play it your way. And he ran that for as long as humanly possible, made some adjustments, and then still put faith in Hibbert at the end, and it worked out for him.
And they won that big game 6, let's not forget, on the road.
Yeah.
That's a big test of character, and I think they got through that.
It's massive.
So Indiana are going to go on to face Washington. Yeah?
Yep.
So that's an interesting series.
I'm taking Washington.
What do you
say,
Indiana? Oh, you want to... All right.
There was,
In 6? In 5? What do you reckon?
I don't know. I don't think they can win game 7 in Indiana, so it'll have to be in 6. That's my official prediction.
I reckon Indiana will be strong enough. I reckon they'll get their shit together. Mm.
The only thing I took out of the entire Atlanta and Indiana series was the bench of Atlanta wearing the old school uniforms with the old school Pac-Man. I was like, it's
what
back.
About Paul
and
George
changed the channel.
Getting robbed during game 5?
Robbed?
Yeah, his house got burgled. Just a stellar year
just
off the court.
Killing
Paul
it.
George.
Killing
yeah.
it. Poor guy.
Having a great time. That's
all heavy. Right. The last series and the one that we are going to watch just after this, which has already finished, Dallas Mavericks versus the San Antonio Spurs. Tim Duncan versus Dirk Nowitzki.
I take VC out of this, turning the clock back and hitting almost like a retribution 3.
Yeah.
From that way back in
2001.
Yeah, against the Sixers, against Iverson.
Mm.
He had that game winner in game 7 and he missed it. And he said he's been taking that shot every day since, in case he got the opportunity again. And it's pretty much the same shot.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Little double pump, a little up fake, got free and splash.
Happy
game.
For VC.
Real happy.
Great.
Totally.
That was a cool moment. In regards to the whole series, I mean, Dallas are always going to test you so much. Monte, he's been great.
Mm.
Dirk's been Dirk.
So
and San Antonio look great at times, and they look horrible in patches, you know.
Ginobili's playing great
this
series.
Been good. Parker's been good. Is Parker injured a little bit?
Yeah, I think he's always got something going on at this time of the year, but
he comes big at times and then he goes quiet. Leonard's been okay, you know, not groundbreaking.
Yeah, I think Leonard's going to be the key if they're going to move forward with any real, you know, threat of making a run of the title.
You know, Splitter had a great series, I thought. He's been really reliable for them.
And Little Paddy.
Yeah,
Little
Paddy.
Paddy's an X factor on this team.
He finished strong. He started off really bad, but he had the last couple of games. They gave him
a chance to win or tie the game in game six. You know, that's huge.
It's massive.
That they put their faith in him.
Yeah, he's got faith. So, I don't know. I don't know who's going to win this game.
I'm hoping it's San Antonio.
I think it's in San Antonio, so I think they'll get him, but... Who knows? Like, you just need... If it comes down to, like, last night, Clippers and Golden State, it's all in the fourth quarter. If you can keep it tight all the way through, if Dallas can keep them within touching distance in the fourth, you got Dirk, you got Monte.
Yeah.
It's great to see Tim Duncan and Nowitzki play and guard each other and try and score on each other.
They're basically playing each other even as well. Their numbers are really similar. From a coaching standpoint, it's just coaching heaven. Mm. The little adjustments they're making, Carlo and Popovich, I reckon the two best coaches in the game with
Cold
Doc Rivers.
That's amazing. All it comes down to, you know? Mm. Little changes, little tweaks, and that could be the difference. It will be the difference, I guess. Mm. Okay, I got
all
one.
Right. So we're
going
to just finish up. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. We gave a little gift. Bagman has been collecting all the fantastic plays and NBA countdowns and top tens of the week, and it's a year's full of the most epic shit this year.
Yeah.
We put it up on our Facebook page, but you can go on YouTube and find it. What's the link?
I think if you go into YouTube and type FCP Plays of the Year, you'll find it, or go to
Plays of the Year 2013, 2014. Yeah.
It's basically like just the best crossovers, best blocks, best dishes.
Disrespectful moments.
And tons of facials. Tons of facials
everywhere.
It's amazing. Yep. And if you think I think you just didn't do the last 2 weeks. So
yeah, I got some catching up to do. But
if there's something we missed and you want to put it up, go to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
What's that?
Facebook.com/FCP podcast.
Sweet. All right, we're going to finish off with Rabbit's last hypothetical.
So obviously I've been watching a lot of Golden State. I've noticed, which I hadn't before, Steph Curry's mum. Have you guys?
No.
Do yourself a favor.
Really?
Oh, this isn't going to work properly if you don't know how hot she is.
Well, just Google it.
Yeah, she's banging, right?
Yeah, let's get it. Yeah. I hope she's hotter than Ray Allen's mom, who just like Ray Allen with a wig
looks
on.
Nothing like... She kind of looks like Steph a little bit, I guess.
Oh, see, this is going now.
Not at all.
Does she have a cute little goatee?
She's got like a kind of little button nose thing going on and shit. It's kind of cool. She's hot, man.
Yeah.
But this is going to tie into my hypothetical. So just Google image.
Oh, yeah, actually, I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're watching,
she's kind of got a bit of a, like, the chick from Wayne's World vibe about her, you know? Like, just an elderly...
You know, I like Cassandra. I kind of like her hair.
Yeah. And her name
Del Curry,
Cassandra.
Yep.
Del Curry, definitely.
Okay,
punching.
So you've seen her now. Everyone just go Google Steph Curry's mum real quick. Check it out. So she's banging. So would you rather...
And also does look a little bit like Steph Curry. Go on.
Would you rather tap Steph Curry's mum for 6 months any way you wanted, and it would be awesome,
I can't believe
6 months,
that.
Or...
It's going to be tough to beat.
But in doing so, it would send Steph into a spiral of depression, and he'd probably never play ball again, get hooked on meth, and never and we'd never see his jump shot ever again.
Oh, that's a good one.
Look at the photo. Look at her again.
Yeah,
she's
6
banging.
Months of MILF puss.
Yep. Anything and any way.
Yep.
But you know the consequences. No more Steph Curry jumper.
Would she get angry at me during the playoffs or watching too much ball?
You wouldn't be watching playoffs. You'd be tapping.
Can Steph Curry get traded to like...
Don't walk away from this.
Well, no, but can he get traded to like another team?
No, he never play basketball again. Hooked on meth. Never play. Never.
I don't wish
put up a jumper.
Yeah, no,
I like
never
Steph
put up
Curry.
A jumper.
No, I'd rather watch Steph Curry for my whole life.
That's good.
That's what I'd rather. He's my favorite player to watch. When he's going, there's nothing more exciting than that. That can give you a mad boner if you watch it the right way.
If everyone listening, if that was your answer, you passed the test and you are a true NBA fan.
So who has been your number one favorite player to watch in the first round playoffs? Ooh. Just out of curiosity, like which guy have you gone, yup, love it, I love his game, I wish I could play like that, or whatever it is that makes you go, that's the one.
Lillard. It was just so fitting that he hit a game winner, like walk-off three to win the series.
Mine's been Wes Matthews,
love
I think.
It. And mine's Aldridge. Portland! All right, you've that's about it for us.
Yeah,
and thanks for listening. Enough. We'll be back again soon.